Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shaman's Cave. I'm Renee Barbo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Shaman's Cave, and I'm Sandra Engerman. And today we have a topic that I feel has been looping around the shamanic community for, I've seen it being looped for about 20 years now for when I started my medicine for the earth work. When I first started my medicine for the earth work, it was only around environmental issues. It was years later that I saw, well, it works on the environment. Why aren't we working with people? So I expanded the work out. But when I started, it was all around how can we use spiritual methods to reverse environmental pollution. And we were doing experiments, and we were getting wonderful results. And on my webpage, sandraengerman.com, if you look up GDV results, you can actually see changes in polluted food, polluted water, sick people with the work that we did. And so we really wanted to bridge spirituality into science. And I actually had a student at that time. We bought 100 copies of Medicine for the Earth. It was back a long time ago before the computers. And we sent them out to different scientific communities. And we did actually have a couple experiments set up. But then the scientific community felt that if anybody found out that they were working with a woo-woo group, they would lose all their funding. So all of our big experiments outside of what we were doing privately in my workshops got canceled because people were afraid of being connected to us. So, you know, that was a real split. That still exists, although people are trying to heal that. You know, Renee's been doing a really good job and writing about different things that bridge science and spirituality together. But one of the looping things and one of the things that Renee and I wanted to talk about today is there's the understanding. So for me, I talk about shamans are gardeners of energy. And whatever seeds we plant in the ground are going to grow. So if we plant seeds of love, those seeds are going to grow. If we plant seeds of hate, those seeds are going to grow. And so the question is, what energies do we want to see grow? And so basically, this whole topic, before I ask Renee what you think about this, is we have people who are extreme activists who feel that to work with holding positive attitudes and working with unconditional love and emanating light just isn't good enough. It's just not going to heal the planet. But yet they're so angry at what's going on. What kind of changes are the people who are going in the spiritual community who is going in to making environmental changes when they're bringing in an unbelievable amount of anger and hate? What's the difference between what they're doing and what the crazy collective is doing?
Yeah, I think it, at least for me, it goes back to this idea that I am right and you are wrong. And I think that kind of started in this global movement back when Christianity moved forward and they said there's one God and all the rest of these gods are false. And so it set us up way back when for this idea that, oh, I'm right and you're wrong. And I think that that's what we're stuck right now in the collective is that I'm right, you're wrong. And I say that over and over again because I think about, I don't know if it's because I'm a Libra. And I'm always trying to balance the scales of justice. So I have as many friends who are on the conservative side as I do on the liberal side. And I listen to both. And I don't really even, it's good for me is that I don't really judge either. Like, you know, my gun-carrying friend who thinks like this next idea of the revolt is going to be bring us all back into order, as opposed to somebody who, you know, is denouncing this whole, you know, this whole conservative movement. And I don't, it goes for me back to, are either of you right? Are either of you wrong? And where I like to sit in is like that we don't really, we can only guess and we don't really know. And we see the weather changing and the weather patterns changing. And, you know, some people like to say, well, you know, this is just 100-year weather and, you know, that we're not getting worse. And, you know, this is our, you know, this whole green thing was just a, you know, a liberal idea of selling more solar panels and all of that. And I just think that if we get back to, I know this is simplifying it, minding our own neighborhoods and looking at what's going on in your own hood, you could kind of start to see like, okay, in my neighborhood, one of our treatment centers got flooded. Got flooded twice. All right, well, how are we going to deal with that? Instead of like, I mean, I think there's more of an urgency of what's standing right in front of us as well as our ideas of what's right for the next, you know, 10 generations going forward. And so it's really a tricky dance.
Yeah, no, it is. I actually believe that shamanism should stick to local communities. That's, I really do believe that. For myself, life just brought me to a place. I wasn't looking for it. I'm a very shy individual. I was really happy with the workshops that I was teaching. Moved me into a more public place. This was definitely not my choice, but here I am. But I really do believe what Renee is saying is true, that I actually believe that everything should just be left to local communities right now. But because I am public and because I am out there, I start to think about for myself, do I want to help people move forward? Because, you know, my new book coming out, which I've talked about, How to Walk Through Darkness, is all about the dark night of the soul. And when you do go down into darkness, what do you do? And I teach that the one thing you don't want to do, and this was the most powerful message my own guardian spirit ever gave to me 40 years ago, was whatever happens, don't sit down in the dark. And so as I got put into a public place, for me, it's how do I keep people from not sitting down in the dark? There is a lot of lessons about sitting down in the dark, and there are a lot of people sitting down in the dark paralyzed right now. But for me, I don't want this to sound dishonoring in any way whatsoever, but I felt in my whole shamanic career, I've been a cheerleader. do it. We can do it. We can make this work. Don't sit down. Don't give up yet. And I really do believe that if what all you're thinking about, so I'll give a personal example. I got into a place of self-pity the other day, and I just kept repeating the mantra over and over and over again. My life is so hard and sad. My life is so hard and sad. And if I keep doing that, if I keep doing that, my life is always going to be hard and sad. It's always going to be hard and sad. And so I started to think about what I was grateful for, and I started coming up with too many things that I was grateful for because I was in a place of self-pity, and that's where I wanted to be. And so I got so pissed off with all these things. Going,
you're so funny.
I think that
at least we can laugh at ourselves.
I need to get pissed off because you're grateful, you know, but that shows. And so when we plant those kinds of seeds of life is hard and life is hard and I don't agree with climate change and I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that. This is the energy that we're growing in our earth garden. And so when I start talking about that, we actually are beings of light and that we can emanate light and light actually does transform, that at least gives some direction where you have a place to put your energy. And Renee, as you were talking, I was saying to myself, where would my energy feel like it was growing? If for me personally, I'm not putting anybody down. I actually believe everybody is right. This whole world is an illusion and we're all making it up. So whatever you're thinking is fine with me. I don't have the energy to start thinking about that global changes and happening. That's too much work. And because I'm saying, so it's too much work to lie to myself. That takes so much energy. It takes so much energy to lie to yourself. So that's not my path. It's other people's path. I don't have the energy for that path. But I get excited when I could get people to see that there's a way forward. I do. Mm-hmm. Where I have the energy. And I think that's where we have to ask ourselves is where is our energy going? What feeds our energy?
Absolutely. When we got on the call, we hadn't talked in a little bit because there's been things going on in both of our worlds. And so, you know, we could start with our own pity selves. We find ourselves laughing when, and all of a sudden our mood changes and we're talking about other things and we talk for like an hour. That's why I was laughing so hard in case anyone wanted to know what my little inner joke was. And we laugh together. So I think that's what keeps us going together for sure. One thing that I've had to realize lately is that it isn't all one way or another. So recently, I came off the IAM symposium feeling really, really great. I thought like, wow, I kind of can hold the space for this big group now. And I didn't let it suck me dry. And I, you know, and it was felt as good throughout. And I was really pleased with myself, right? And the very next day, I was standing at the airport and I got this call that just stopped me in my tracks. And it changed the course of my beliefs and everything. And I was stalled. When you're talking about standing in frozen in fear, I mean, I had to do tapping the other day to get out of the fear that I had created for myself. And once I could get there, and in the middle of it, like I wanted to be, you know, full of self-pity and I wanted to have my pity pot. And we're all entitled to our pity pots. So don't ever think that, you know, no matter how spiritually awake, that you're not going to have something hard hit you and you're not going to have a moment of a pity pot. And the work of us as spiritual leaders is to to recognize that, to stay indoors when you're in that kind of a mood, or connect with a good friend like we connect and, you know, and can bolster each other out from there. But then what I had to really look at, like, the world gave me a hit. I mean, it was probably no different than somebody getting a hit, somebody, you know, like a weather hit or any, it was a slam down. And what I did realize was all of the spiritual work that I did was really good practice, because I had the tools. Now, I didn't have the tools to meditate every day, and I didn't have the tools to walk. I couldn't walk until I was ready to start wind walking again. I couldn't do certain things until I recovered from the stages that a physical self goes through when they get slammed down. But I had the tools. And the other thing that I realized once I started implementing these tools again was that bad things happen to good people. And if you really have the tools, you'll begin to look and see how spirit does meet you throughout. For example, I had to redo the house. And not the whole, I kind of had to redo the whole house, at least the energy of the whole house. And, you know, people stepped in, hey, Renee, how can I help you? The tile guy showed up. They happened to have a week break in their schedule. He went to the tile store with me to pick out the tile. They picked it up and they started and were done in 3 days. Whereas, you know, if I wasn't using my spiritual tools, I could still be sitting here, you know, with the carpet that needed to be ripped out. And so I had to find the gratitude for how spirit bolstered me after it slammed me down.
Right. Yeah. And also the lessons that you get from that. You know,
right.
Yeah, you know, the lessons that you get from that.
And another piece of childhood work.
Yeah.
Well, I was trapped as a child, feeling that no one was ever going to take care of me. I had to go back and clean up again.
Right. Yeah.
There's always a good lesson in there when you move through it.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's really important, you know, in coming back to what we're talking about is for people who do want to bridge spirituality into science and what's happening with the environment today, is how do we heal that split of you know, judging, mm-hmm. what everybody's doing and what everybody's doing wrong, to how can we use our spiritual tools to actually start to make changes? And I think part of the issue is that the culture that we live in, and we see this in shamanic work. Every single shamanic practitioner in the world has been complaining about this since the beginning of time, is people want automatic, 1 second, miraculous healings. And so for people who are going into the environmental movement, we have to realize whether we're working spiritually or whether we're working through actual activities, volunteering ourselves in our communities to do work to help the environment and the communities that we live in. All of that takes an amazing amount of time. And that is one of the powers of working in a small community, is when community, you see how long everything takes. You're working with 10,000 people around the world because somebody posted something on social media about a ceremony going on for the planet or a particular place on Earth that's struggling. Nobody actually knows what's going on, so nobody actually knows what's needed. When you live in a small community or a community doesn't have to be small, but in a community and you're aware of what's going on in your community, you know what actions to take, and you can work with the spirits to positively create change. Mm-hmm. But the world is so big, and there's so many people in it, and everybody's waiting for the UFOs to come down, and it's all going to change in just a second, and we're all going to be in this new dimension of reality where everything is perfect and everything is heavenly. And I am positive. I am very optimistic because there are enough spiritual people, I believe, doing spiritual work that is going to change collective, but I do not believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I'm going to see it.
You might. You know, the other day, I'm the president of my local board, of my community board, and there's about 262 houses with people living in it, and you know, some other properties. I was really mostly curious that our annual meeting, only 30 people came. And I filmed it so that they could watch it on YouTube, and how few people watched it on YouTube afterwards. And meanwhile, we own a water utility, we own a beach, we own a forest as a group. And I'm thinking, like, are they just so certain that us, five people have their best interest at heart, or do they really not care that? That we're over there thinking, okay, well, the weather's been a little iffy. We need a second propane tank. I'm the practical one here. So this is how I think about the thing. Like, in the guys, they're like, yeah, the engineers are like, yeah, you need a second propane tank because, if the water goes out and the power goes out for a week, you're only going to have enough water for your community for X amount of days. Now, so I love all of these global prayer ceremonies and stuff like that, but how much water do you have? The Swami that I pray with, like, how much food supplies do you have if there was something really happened in your neighborhood? Do you have enough food and water for 10 days? I mean, we're really at a place where not only do we have to, like, bring it home, we have to really understand that I am like a Pollyanna. I love to, my ooh, wah, wah, like, I can hear this with spiritual, but I'm thinking, like, well, no, I don't have enough water for 10 days. I don't have enough food for 10 days. Like, luckily I know people in my community who grow food, but I think that it's time when we talk about bringing it home, we're really talking about bringing it home. Are you growing your own food? Do you have your water supplies? Are you adding to the value of your neighborhood? Or are you still, like, feeling disconnected, sitting online, listening to another free class, but not actually taking any action to make your neighborhood better?
Yeah, I think your point is really well taken. And I think if we come back to the original topic of what we're talking about, it really is about doing that and keeping a positive attitude at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because
I agree with that.
If we all keep a real defeatist attitude, that's what you're growing. I really love, from the New Thought Church, Emmett Fox had I can't remember his exact metaphor, but I can make it up. If you plant apple seeds in the ground, you're going to get an apple tree. You're not going to get a cherry tree. Mm-hmm. So we're planting all these seeds in the ground with our attitude, with our words, with our thoughts, with our daydreams, with our conversations with others, with social media, that are growing a tree. Mm-hmm. Trees are growing. Is it a tree a healthy tree, or is it a tree filled with hateful energies? And what kind of energy is that tree going to broadcast in your neighborhood? So I really appreciate people who have a hard time with people who get into a positive way of looking at things. And there's a real balance between doing a spiritual bypass of saying nothing is wrong, everything is perfect. You know, that I personally believe is an illness. I taught a workshop with this woman sponsor who everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. Her husband was sleeping with every woman in town. All these things were going on, but she just walked around all the time. Everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. And if she would have done just a little bit of work on herself, she actually could have moved to a life where everything was perfect, but I don't believe it was for her at that time. But she was trying to force it. You know, she was trying to make it in. And so, you know, we have that whole community of everything's perfect. And again, that's everybody's right. We all have the right to put out the energy and put our energy into where it feels best for us. But I kind of feel that, well, you look at what isn't working and you don't say that everything is perfect. But then you stay positive and you look at the tools that you need to do to create the transformation that's needed to be created. So that's a real way to wed the positive with the reality without getting lost in the judgment and the hate, but being productive at the same time.
Right. Yeah, and for me, the hate, there is no hate. If I look across it, even the people I don't agree with, I allow them in my life to have that space to have that viewpoint, whether or not I agree with it, because if I'm secure in my own viewpoint, it's not as important to me, because I don't remember any other time in history that somebody else's viewpoint made them so wrong and the enemy. You know, I think for years, like, we've all had our different, and we could all sit at the same Thanksgiving table and have a dinner. And that's the vision that I hold, is that I could have a dinner party with 10 different viewpoints, and that it could enrich us all instead of making anyone singled out and feeling like their idea wasn't valid. You know, that would be my dream for my neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. And there is a lot of judgment that's going on right now. And I do believe part of it is people judge. And that's just the way. That's part of it. And part of it is, I think, the judgments help to make people feel safe. If you could put somebody else down, then you feel more empowered, whether it's true empowerment or false empowerment. I can't speak to that. But every time you judge somebody, you're saying, I know something that you don't. I know more than you do. And so we're looking at trying to create an empowered collective, because the solutions are in everybody who was born to come in this time. We came in for a particular reason. We came in to share the unique gift that we have to share. We came in to share the unique knowledge that we have to share to make a change. But everybody's so afraid of being judged. We have a real issue, especially in the spiritual community, because they tell me this all the time about self-worth and self-love. And if you don't have self-worth, it's a little hard to feel like you have anything to say or that you have anything to share. And so it's a real time, I think, for people to go inside themselves and start to look at what have you been told that has absolutely nothing to do with you, but you've been living your life by other people's opinions, by other people's judgments, by other people's rules. What's the brilliance inside of you that can come out where you can be a shaman, a gardener of energy, and start to help create a beautiful garden for this earth? You came in with a particular tool, gardening tool. What's your gardening tool?
And we need all of those tools, the ones we agree with, the ones we don't agree with. And the other part is that for me, to always remember that seeds grow when conditions are ripe. And so the seeds that you might be planting today may not be going to grow for another 20 years, another 30 years. And that part is hard. And Sandra loves to remind us that we come from a planet that's 4.5 billion years old. So our seed is just a blip in the cosmos. And, you know, so if 4 billion years from now, I would hope that the seeds that I planted help form a world that's worthy of living in.
Yeah, and that's where I believe, that's for me, where I believe it's very important to keep planting some positive seeds while being realistic and working through your feelings and doing it all, doing the alchemy, bringing through the dark and the light, the darkness that you feel inside and the light that you feel inside, and really doing that work so that you can move into a place where you are seeing that you're contributing. We all want to be contributing in some way right now. And just being kind to somebody on the street is contributing right now. So we don't have to get all big egoed out about what I should be doing and looking at what are some really simple ways that you can share your gifts and you can share spiritual knowledge. Like just saying something nice to somebody who's really struggling could be the best thing.
I agree. I think we'd love to hear your opinions on this as well. So make sure you can put those in the comments on YouTube and Facebook. And we love when you share. Our favorite thing is to see when you share your perspective. You know, the pictures and all the nice sayings, you know, a lot of times I don't even approve them because I don't even know if that's the person who said it. And I'm not going to spend hours researching whether it was said by that person or not. And if I don't know, you know, it's not a personal thing. It's just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to get into that controversy. We try to keep it with our experience, our conversation. How do we move forward in the struggles and the joy and the life that we're having
today? Absolutely. Yeah. People are posting more deeper, heartfelt posts than I've seen in a really, really long time. And that's been nice. And I know a lot of off social media. And so I congratulate you for doing that.
And we'll be here again.
You are off of social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our show and don't and on social media again, but at least do us that favor.
Thank you.